World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, before it, I got a special request. I need some of you out there right now to send me an email, because Jared and I said, Jared, my email isn't working. And Jared said, yeah, it is. And I said, my email, no, it didn't. So if you're out there, I don't need a million of them, coach@coachdavelive.com. Just send an email, say hi, say, give me a thumb, whatever, coach@coachdavelive.com. Because I'm telling you, if you're emailing me at that address, I'm not getting them. So we'll see. Hopefully I'll get 500 of them here in a second, but help me out there a little bit. Coach, I'm Coach, and I'm at coachdavelive.com. Spencer, put that in the chat so they can see exactly what that email is and where to send it. And, oh man. Million different directions to go today. I'm going to ask a question. I wrote it newswithviews.com. I want to really jump on that right here at the beginning. I really do, because I think it's really that crucial. We have a Liberty Action Network. Yeah, thank you. The email is now in the chat. Some of it. Just send me a real quick email, and I'm probably not going to respond to you, but just do that for me, okay? What's our most important right? You know, they talk about rights. We have inalienable. By the way, inalienable. Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. Inalienable, a lien. Like you take a lien against a property. That's called a lien. What does that mean? Well, if I don't pay, I rip somebody off and I owe them $10,000, they can put a lien against my property, meaning that when I sell my property, they get their $10,000, lien. So, but your rights are unalienable. In other words, you cannot put a lien against somebody's rights because your rights are granted to you by God. They cannot put an unalienable, they cannot put a lien against what you want to say just because they don't want to hear it. The government cannot prevent you from speaking just because it's against them. They can't throw you in jail because they said you had insurrection speech. No. Your right to free speech is inalienable. Cannot have a lien put against it. You guys understand that? So knowing that your right to speak, if your words are not free, you're not free, dudes. Thinking about that a second, other than our free speech right, what's the most important inalienable right? What's the most important right? The number one right that everybody has. Anybody want to volunteer? The most important of all of them. Welcome back, Steve. Good to know you're back in. What? I'm sorry. Go ahead. What was it? Anybody?
Speech.
Nah. I mean, that's right up there. That's not your most important inalienable, right? Come on. Assemble and worship.
Yeah, right to life.
What's that?
The right to life.
The right to life. If you don't have the right to live, you ain't got no rights. It doesn't matter whether you can speak. It doesn't matter whether you can assemble. It doesn't matter if you don't have the right to live, all the rights are meaningless. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why the American church doesn't understand the importance of that. I'm going to talk about that here. And I wrote about it today. I want to talk about it. But I want to let me swim back here a little bit. Let me swim back a little bit. Because, Lord, how do I do this? Help me out here, Lord. Pull up number one. Pull up number one. Now I'm going to take you somewhere. Joe Rogan. I don't know what you think about Joe Rogan. But at least he's jabbing. You know, at least he's jabbing. Number one. Brett Weinstein explains to Joe Rogan how Democrats' cheat margin works in elections. I don't know why this is important, friends, but for some reason, elections are on our lap. I don't know if you've picked that up out there. And I don't know if you know that Dr. Corsi, I almost said Fauci, Dr. Corsi was on Hagman the other night. More and more people are waking up to what's going on. More and more. We are on the top of something. Now, I'm not going to read this whole article, but I want you to scroll down real slowly. I want you to look, folks. Well, this is now becoming an issue everywhere. Scroll down through this, Spence. This lady here, they ought to throw her in jail. Michigan Secretary of State. If you're speaking out against election, now they want to throw you in jail. Well, scroll on down. They want to throw you in jail if you're speaking out against elections. Keep going. So now they're complaining. Okay, stay there. Now they're saying, wait a minute, they're cheating on our elections in Michigan, but you're not allowed to say it. Scroll on down. Keep going. Not just Michigan. We're on top of something. So I want you to say, well, Arizona, a lawsuit was filed. Lawsuit was filed in Arizona. 501 million ineligible voters. Why don't we care about that? Why don't our elected officials care about that? I can tell you why. Because they get reelected. Republicans get reelected too. They don't care about it. Scroll. So now we had what? Michigan? Wait a minute. Ohio, Michigan, Arizona. Why, Texas launches 10 most wanted illegal immigrant lists. Keep going. Folks, this isn't just here in good old Ohio. Huh? There's Arizona. Keep going. They're suing to get their voter. There's the lawsuit. They're getting their. We're on top of something. Oh, Obama. Huh? Great news. Starting today, Pennsylvania will begin automatic voter registration. Automatic voter registration. In other words, they register for you and then they vote for you and you don't even know it. Keep going. This is Pennsylvania. People are waking up. Huh? Battleground Pennsylvania. They're launching. Well, look, Texas Governor Greg Abbott. All of a sudden, oh, there's 1 million ineligible voters on the state's rolls. 1 million of them. 500,000 dead people. Oh, people are waking up. Scroll on down. Over 1 million. Keep going. So this guy says, I call it the cheat factor. Brett Weinstein. Now, look, we got Dr. Frank telling us. We got Dr. Corsi telling us. Now we got this guy, Brett Weinstein, telling us about the cheat factor. Huh? Scroll on down. More and more waking up. We got less than 60 days till the election. So listen, hey, we're going to watch this real quick, okay? The Joe Rogan, I'm sorry he swears. I'm sorry he does. Okay, Lord, I'll tell him the truth. Sometimes I like a man that swears. Sorry. Sometimes I do. See, I get more offended by people killing babies than somebody dropping the F-bomb, just be honest with you. I'm not like most Christians. Most Christians, oh, why could you say that? And meanwhile, they're teaching transgenderism to your grandchildren. So this is 3 minutes and 22 seconds, Joe Rogan, and a new form of cheating as well. Folks, are you looking at me? We all know they're cheating. We all know it. Go ahead and play this.
For me, it was the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. One good book on the Kennedy assassination, I was like, God damn it, they killed the fucking president. It freaked me out forever. That was like, I literally had a giant shift in how I viewed the world after reading that book. Because before that, I was never a questioner of whatever was in the news or whatever the narrative was that we were being told about anything.
Well, but I mean, I have exactly the same reaction to that story, and I've been down that rabbit hole. And I think you're just ultimately left with a question. Something happened in 1963. That's before either of us were born, right?
Right.
That thing was either an anomaly that robbed the nation of a president and the nation continued to be a democratic republic in the aftermath of it, or that was interference with democracy, and we don't know how to look at all of the seemingly democratic things that have happened since. How much of what has happened since are the people?
Stop that. You get that. This is a powerful point. When they killed John F. Kennedy, did America shift at that point? Did the oligarchs at that point in 1963 gain control and make it look like a democratic republic? Keep going.
People who took control with that assassination, how much is them continuing to maintain control with a certain amount of democracy? And how much was that an aberration that then returned us to our normal course? And
that's a good point. A certain amount of democracy.
A certain amount. There's clearly a certain amount.
Yeah.
And make it look like you get the vote.
It's one of the reasons why they're so terrified.
Hang on. You understand? They make it look like you get to pick your candidates. Make it look like it, right? Go ahead.
Which is one of the reasons why they're so terrified of Trump.
Like, yeah.
There's a certain amount of the stealing they can do. If let's imagine if it is dirty and you really can manipulate elections, how much can you manipulate it by? Can you manipulate it by 30%? You know? Because we don't know. And as long as they can have you believing in the polls, this is what's really important, polls. Kamala Harris is up by 3%. Oh, she's up. She's winning. Like, who the fuck are you talking to? Who are you talking to?
Right. And
you're not talking to me.
What narrative is it in which Kamala has done something that might have caused a surge in her popularity? Like, I didn't see it.
Well, some magic.
But to your point about how much can they cheat, I call that factor, which none of us can put a number on. Maybe they can.
Right.
I call it the cheat factor, right? The cheat margin. And one of the things that I'm trying to convince people of is that it's not hopeless because they can cheat, but it means that you have to succeed at a level that exceeds their capacity to erase it.
Stop right. So that's what we're.
So see, it's no longer, you can, folks, we can no longer win with 52% of the vote because they'll cheat 10%. So we have to win with 62% of the vote. Are you tracking with us here? Keep going.
We're talking about. So we're talking about, like, maybe they can cheat by 10%.
Right. And what we know, and I think actually we owe Trump a huge debt of gratitude for proving something that I couldn't have told you if it was true before he won the presidency, which is there still enough democracy left in the system for something to upend the plan? Right? Because
right.
He was clearly off narrative.
Right.
And he did become president. So he did something for us that I don't know anybody else who could have done it.
Yeah, it would take a person with that kind of personality that could withstand that kind of abuse, because he didn't freak out at all when they went after him. He's like,
right,
just brushed it off like it was nothing. For me, it was
okay. So I wrote something today, and I think it's germane for me to read it today because we'll get to the current action. I wrote this yesterday, labored on it, actually. And just bear with me a second, because there's some statistics in here I want you to see, all right? By the way, share these with people. Steve Quayle posted it today on his homepage. Thank you, Steve, for doing that. Steve's always good to me. We got to change the way people think, man. We got to change the way. So here's what I wrote yesterday and using today. Can a Christian vote pro-abortion? Stay there a minute. Ask yourself that. Because what did we all just say when we got started here? What did we all say? That the most important right was what? Right to life. We all agreed that. If you don't have life, you don't have any of the rights. You don't have any of them. I'm sure you're aware that the Republican Party has taken the pro-life plank out of their party platform. It comes as no surprise, by the way, I'm reading it up here, folks. That's why I'm not looking at you. It comes as no surprise to me, as a guy who spent countless hours on the streets defending the preborn children, this change in policy didn't come as a surprise to me. You see, the Republican Party has been pro-life with exceptions for as long as I can remember. In fact, my experience has been that the Republican honchos have been ashamed of the pro-life wing of their party and have wished for a long time that they could stick the pro-lifers on the back of a Republican bus alongside the ghost of Rosa Parks. So, Benny, boom, that one. That's a hell of a paragraph, dude. That is a paragraph. See, the part of, in fact, most of the conservative churches have been pro-life with exceptions for years. You see, they thought abortion was wrong, but they didn't want it outlawed just in case one of their daughters made a mistake. Better to secretly kill the child than face the embarrassment of having one of the pillars of the church be shamed by the sexual miscreants of their teenage daughter. Boom! Somebody boom it! For many Christians, killing the baby is a better consequence than public embarrassment and the future-altering mistake of their daughter. Better to kill the baby than screw up college dreams.
Boom.
You know I'm telling you the truth. Somebody, come on, somebody, yep. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. This is why a hard sermon on baby murder is rarer than a pro-life Catholic. I might as well get everyone ticked off at me. In the election of 2020, nearly half of American Catholics voted for baby killer Joe Biden. I remember the days when Catholics were the pro-life movement. But check this out. Click on it. Check this out. Who are the 13 Catholic senators, 13 Catholic senators who voted for a shameful pro-abortion bill? They're all listed there. Go back. What's the most important, right? Thank you. So I gave you a list of, a bunch of Catholics here who voted to kill babies. There they are, all Catholics who voted for abortion. Pelosi's Catholic, so is Biden. The Catholic vote has kept abortion legal in America. Did you know that six of the Supreme Court justices are Catholic? Six of the nine are Catholic, and three of them are pro-abortion. Did you know that? I'm not banging on Catholics. Take a deep breath, exhale. This is not a Catholic bashing commentary. Save your emails. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. Some of our Republican friends went ballistic when the elephants removed the pro-life stance from their platform. They blamed Trump. They said that pro-lifers were compromising their values for MAGA. Well, I don't want to spoil the party, but Donald Trump is the most pro-life president in my lifetime. I'm going to say it again. Donald Trump didn't just talk about it. He appointed three pro-life judges to the U.S. Supreme Court. The most pro-life president in my lifetime.
Boom.
Just the facts, man. There's no right there. Folks, look, listen to me. There is no right to abortion in the United States Constitution. The courts have already ruled. There have been nine presidents since Roe was wrongly decided in 1973, five Republicans and four Democrats, and none of them affected abortion as much as Donald Trump. Would anybody want to argue with me? Anybody? Huh? George Bush, Poppy Bush, huh? Baby Bush, any of them? Huh? You see, abortion is now a state's rights issue, folks. People are always jawboning that Trump's a dictator, but when he acknowledges that SCOTUS said the issue is a state's rights issue, conservatives want the feds to step in and rule on abortion. Oh, that is, boy, that's an expose right there. Talk about double-minded. See, we want the government to get involved when it's for us, and we don't want the government involved when it's not against us, right? We're double-minded in all of our ways. My friends, abortion is now an issue for the states to deal with. As wrong as we may think that decision was, there is, according to the Supreme Court, no constitutional right to abortion. Thank you, Donald Trump. Abortion is now the purview or the control of the individual states. Which brings me back to the churches. In my home state of Ohio, abortion was placed on the ballot in 2023 as a result of the SCOTUS decision. The citizens of Ohio actually had the ability to outlaw abortion in our state. 57% of Ohioans voted to legalize the killing of the preborn. That's staggering, friends. Somehow, this has all become Donald Trump's fault. Check this out. Click on that. So everybody know what I'm talking about. Put it in the chat. Click on that and put it on the chat. Less than half of U.S. evangelicals identify as pro-life. Okay, go back. According to the Christian Post, half of American evangelists, only half are pro-life. Permit me to repeat myself. The majority of American evangelicals are pro-choice. Whose fault might that be? Is Donald Trump standing in the pulpit preaching to Christians every Sunday? Does he have the ear of Christian America? Wait a minute, there's more. In the 2020 election, 64% of all registered voters identified as Christian. Pop that one. Pull up that link. By the way, that's down from 79% in 2008. Christians still the majority of U.S. voters despite waning numbers. Is that unbelievable? You guys know that? 64% of the people who vote in American elections claim to be Christian. They claim to be it. Put that in the chat. Go to the next one. Oh, you're there. Thank you. You read that right. If the Christians voted as a block, we would elect a Christian president every 4 years. But divide and conquer, the oldest trick in the books, has given us a government of non-believer. I wonder whose fault that is. Take a peek at this chart. I'll put the chart up there in a minute. I'm going to tell you what the chart says, okay? The 2020 election, 77% of white evangelicals voted for Trump. That means 23% didn't. Only 41% of non-white Christians voted for Trump. In other words, 59% of non-white Christians voted for Joe Biden. Only 50% of mainline Christians voted for Trump. Mainline would be Presbyterian, Lutheran. Only 50% of them voted for Trump. Wow, how about this? Only 11% of black Christians did voted for Trump. Wait, there's more. 39% of white Catholics voted for Biden. I thought Catholics were pro-abortion or pro-life. While 68% of non-white Catholics voted for Biden. Wonder why the Dems are for open borders. They want to get those non-white voters out of Mexico here, don't they? Have you had enough yet? Barely half of the Christians in America even vote. 90 million Christians are registered to vote. 40 million didn't even vote. And another 15 million aren't even registered. Is anybody picking up where I'm going here today? Huh? We want to blame Trump, Republican Party. As you ponder the statistics, you simply ask yourself this question. Why are American Christians so divided when they go to the polls? Could it be because the men in America's pulpits have decided not to get involved in politics? My friends, abortion isn't political. Sexual deviancy isn't political. Protecting our borders isn't political. Fair trade, not political. Teaching morality to our children, not political. stealing from one man to give to another. That ain't political. The scriptures ask us, can two walk together unless they agree? Would there be as much political division in America if there wasn't so much division in the church?
Amen.
Does a woman's right to kill her unborn child overrule the right of that child to live? Have you ever met a pro-choice fetus? 65 million Christians can't even figure that out. What in the Hades are the pulpits teaching the people? So no Christian could ever vote for the party that wants to kill the most innocent of all of God's creatures. No life, no other rights. No other right matters if you don't have a right to live. Don't tell me you're a Christian and vote for the death of innocent human beings. You see, Jesus isn't pro-life. He is life. His followers are so confused that they can't even figure that out. To paraphrase Martin Niemöller, first they came for the fetus, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a fetus. Then they came for the preschoolers, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a preschooler. And then they came for the students, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a student. And then they came for J6ers. There's no one left to speak. Hey, Christians, abortion's murder. Stop voting for murderers. Friends, I've looked in the mirror. I saw the problem. It's us. It ain't Trump. He's not the problem. It's us. The chances are when you go to church, if you still do, chances are half the people in the church don't care about preborn babies. They do not care. They believe that a woman has the right to usurp the right of a child to live. Where would they get that? So the problem in the church, the problem in the Republican Party, the problem is us. Problem is us. Put number five up real quick. I'm going to open it up. Play number five.
I'm about to preach now. And that's the problem with many churches today. Even the churches that are so intellectually sound and so doctrinally pure, but they have no life inside of them. They sit on pews and they rehearse their doctrine every Sunday and they sing their doxologies and it's all true and it's all real and they're all saved and they're all going to heaven, but they have no spiritual life inside of them. So here I go again. Jesus did not die on a cross, be buried, be raised, go back and send the Holy Spirit so you could come to church every Sunday and sit in a classroom and get your head filled up again with a little more knowledge. No, he did all of that so you could have fire shut up in your bones, so you could have the Word of God in your mouth, so that you could bear fruit, so that there'd be life and joy and peace that nobody can understand. Hallelujah to God.
What the heck's he so angry about?
Yeah, huh? See, church is self-help, right? So he's preaching 50% of the people don't care about killing babies. Come on in, Craig.
So you started out with the Kennedy family, but you know, while you were doing that, I was just thinking in my mind, when you really think about our country, probably over the last 100 years, ever since the Roosevelts, this has really been a family run business. It's just switched from different families.
It's exactly what it is.
So let me break it down there. So, okay. So Kennedy goes, so then you get, you know, Johnson and okay. But then, you know, Nixon comes back. All right. But then after Nixon, you know, who comes into, you know, into office. Well, Reagan, which is a little bit of an anomaly, except one character shows up, which starts the next family, George Bush. And where's George Bush at? He's riding shotgun for 8 years. And so think of
and former director of the CIA. Go ahead.
And didn't know where he was when Kennedy was shot.
Yep,
and so think of agencies that are established and the fourth arm of government, which is the federal employees, because they outlive political appointments. They're there for 30 years and they're setting ball. Right. So then you have Reagan. Okay. Well, you know, before you have Reagan, you got Carter, and Carter was what? He was a trilateral person. He went to all the Rockefeller trilateral things. Okay. So then
born again Christian.
So then after, you know, you get this guy, Clinton, right? Okay. So Clinton's in there. Okay. And he runs into '90s, and then guess who comes back? You know, you got George Bush, and you got Clinton. All right. Then you have George Bush Jr. Okay. So now you have the Bushes in again.
Prince coming in there. Yep.
So then he's got.
Hang on. Let me stop you a second, Craig. Don't forget they tried to give us Jebby too. Go ahead.
Well, I'm getting to that point. All right. So then after that, all right, then really, literally, you know, Hillary and Obama fought it out, right? Because, you know, we were going to have the Clinton thing again, but Obama, you know, knocked her out for a while. Yep. And then after Obama's reign, who was going to come back in? Well, it was Hillary and then Jeb Bush. And Jeb Bush had all the financing, right? He was in Florida and all this other stuff. And then, you know, Trump kind of knocked him out, right? Remember how he was really cutting him down? So just think, you got Bushes for this whole period of time, myriad, I would call it, the time. You got Clintons in this myriad of time. You know, so when you think of Kennedys and all this other stuff, you know, you're just replacing it with different names, Bushes and Kennedys. I mean, Bushes and Clintons.
Just a different CEO for the corporation. Is that what you're telling me?
Right. And then now what are they talking about? Michelle Obama, you know, like we can't seem like we can just get somebody in office for maybe 4 or 8 years and then let's go to another family. No, we tend to follow families as political leaders.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we like to worship people, right? Huh? So listen, friends, we have to come to the realization that we elect a machine. We elect a machine. Now, think about this for me. Okay. When was Obama elected? Anybody know when was he elected? I mean, I know I'm asking. When was he elected?
2008.
Who was the president before Obama? G.W. Bush. Okay. Then Obama gets elected in 2008. And he serves 2 terms. Then who gets elected?
Bush Jr.
No.
Trump
gets elected, and then Trump's in there. And then who gets elected again? Biden.
Biden.
So, friends, whether you know this or not, 12 of the last 16 years has been a Democrat in the White House. Do you understand that? 12 of the last 16 years. And the truth of the matter is, there's been almost zero resistance from the Republican Party. Who are the Republican Party warriors fighting for us? Mitch McConnell? Really? Oh, I know. Trey Gowdy. Oh, no. Trey Gowdy's now on Fox News. Right? Where is the Christian influence in politics?
There is none.
How could a nation of 68%, I think I have the right number, 68% Christians, how could they elect God-hating, abortion-supporting, homosexual-supporting, border-open? How could a Christian nation elect those people? The pulpit is silent, that's what I say. Whose turn is it? Jack.
Yeah, Craig, I just want to put one more little fact into your timeline. Before they killed Kennedy, the Joint Chiefs of Staff decided and told their chief statistician to plan for a 10-year war with 60,000 casualties in Southeast Asia. You think there was a plan?
In other words, hey, thank you. I'm getting emails. Who were the men behind the curtain? Who was the wonderful Wizard of Oz? Oh, wonderful, wonderful whiz he was. Wonderful because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the Wizard, wonderful Wizard of Oz. Jeff.
Yes, the communist goals. Take over one or both of the political parties in the United States. Done.
Done. Done. Judah.
Yeah, Coach. You mentioned who's the wonderful Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. You can actually go boil this back. People don't really realize who the right-hand man was. But when you get into George Bush and Kennedy, you then come to Gerald Ford, and then you come to Henry Kissinger. That three duo, obviously putting in Rockefeller, sealed the deal. And then with Rockefeller, they brought in Carter. And then they lined up. That, believe it or not, people, that duo is what lined up Obama.
Yep.
That duo lined up Obama.
Who, by the way, is still president of the United States. He's still. Well, he's the figurehead, right? There's people above pulling Obama's strings. But I can tell you, Obama's pulling Biden's strings. And Obama will pull Kamala's strings, right?
Coach, just to mention this, though, all those other players we just mentioned are now gone.
They're all what, Jed? I'm sorry.
They're no longer on this planet.
No, that's right. That's right. That's right. But they've taken. It's been a tag team handoff, though, right? They've done a tag team handoff on us for sure. Jack, come on in. I got more. Hang on. I got more. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, yeah. I put in the chat, Coach. Again, the fundamentals. We forget that as you were talking about the Ohio voting for baby murder, Ohio is a sovereign state. We are a confederation of sovereign states. We forget those fundamentals. And that's why we fail. Because
Jack. Donald Trump did the right thing when the court returned it to the states. He respected the Constitution and says it's the states' rights. We're taking it out of our national platform.
That's right. Exactly. And Donald Trump. No, and Donald Trump, on his inaugural address, gave the power back to us, and we went back to sleep. The church went back to sleep.
That's right. That's right. Well, we didn't want it. We didn't want the power and authority. We wanted it to get worse. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, the Christians don't have to do anything. The Republican committees in our counties are going to get more signs and flags and hats. It'll be all right.
Do me a favor real quick, Spencer. Say right there, Jeff. Spencer, go back to that commentary. I want you to pull up a link to that. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
That was all I had. We don't have to do nothing. Just wait on the little committees.
Wait on. That's right. Which one did I want? Pull down. Go up a little bit, Spence. Because I wanted you all to check it out. Check this out. Click on that. It says check this out. No, that's not it. Go to the next one. Identified as Christian. There's more. Identified as Christian. Click on that. And then I wanted to go in the chat. No, dog nabbit. I'm going to find it. Hang on. It's important. 57% of Ohio. No, that's not it. Take a peek at this chart. Click on that one. Yeah. No, that's not it. Oh, that's important. Scroll down. I'm trying to show you the. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Here it is, folks. White evangelicals, 2020. How many voted for Trump, Republican? 78%. Okay, good, good. Scroll on down. Put this in the chat, by the way. Non-whites. Oh, 58% of non-white evangelicals voted for Biden. That's why they want immigration. Go on down. How about mainline Christians? Mainline Protestants. Well, half of them voted pro-life. When I'm talking Trump, I'm talking pro-life. They voted pro-life. Go on down. Put in the chat. Black Protestants. Look at that. You got to be kidding me. 89% of black Protestants voted for a candidate that will kill black babies. You understand, don't you, that 50% of all abortions are on black children. And the church, 89% of black Christians are voting to murder babies. Could it be they don't understand? The pulpit's not telling them? Go on down. White Catholics. Oh, good, good. The white Catholics. Why, only 61% of them. 39% of white Catholics voted to murder babies. Next one. Non-white Catholics. It'd be Hispanics. 68% of non-white Catholics voted for baby murders. One more, I think. That's it. Hey, folks, it's the pulpit's fault. It's the pulpit's fault. Roger Weaver, come on in, Roger.
Well, it is just a genocide in the black community.
Genocide, brother.
Just a genocide. And you hear nothing about it in the black community. You hear nothing about what it's doing to the black community. It is a genocide. That's all I
Roger,
can
say. Roger, what would they be doing if I was going around picking off black little black children? Can you imagine the outrage?
Oh, they live, and this is, and I'm a white man, I get it, but they spend too much time thinking of black history and not enough time thinking of the future of the black American.
It's on purpose, though. It's on purpose. Yep. Rather than realize that one of the richest, many of the richest men in the world are black men. Johnny.
Morning, Coach. You know, I'm sitting here listening to this white evangelical, black Christian.
Yep, it's crazy.
White this, black that. You know, that's why we categorize each other, just so we can rip each other down and have an excuse to not being accountable.
That's right.
I mean, it's so stupid. I mean, I don't think God categorizes his creation.
Of course he
doesn't. Does that make any sense? You know, why do we do that?
Why is it me, why am I for the protection of black children? And black people aren't. It's a great deception, isn't it, friends? Great deception. Joe Allen.
So JFK was killed November 23rd, 1963.
November 22.
So my dad was part of a naval conference out there in Bremerton, Washington. A week before that, the assassination hit, the Navy Liberty was sequestered. Awful curious, a week before Kennedy got killed.
Mm. Awful curious. Paul Webb, come on in, Paul. Let me stop here a second. Paul Webb called me yesterday. Paul's from Oklahoma, out there with Randy and George Lewis and those guys. And Paul Webb, Paul Webb's parents both were found dead, were just found dead.
What?
They were in a nursing facility, some type of nursing facility. They don't really know exactly what happened. But Paul called me yesterday and said, Coach, I just found out both of my parents are dead. Wasn't like they deserted them. Wasn't like they were in a... So God bless you, Paul. Come on in.
Well, thank you, Coach. A lot of what you talk about in the Black community with this abortion issue, if you really look back at the history of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, that was part of the plan all along to get Black pastors and Black leaders to go along with the genocide of Black babies. Yes, and if you look at the history of Planned Parenthood, they give an award out, Margaret Sanger Award. That Margaret Sanger Award went to one Dr. Martin Luther King. There you go. But there's a lot of it's a melanated Marxist. That's what they are. Yep. A lot of these pulpit pimps. And you have white ones as well as Black ones. Got and that's kind of where we are. It's just, yeah. But people are waking up, though. I mean, there's a lot of people that are waking up to what's going on. And it's going to be interesting. But I think, you know, we have to just understand that all elections are local.
All are local.
Also, be praying here in Tulsa too, because we had a mayoral election last week, and a very good, decent man by the name of Brent Van Norman was running for mayor against two Democrats, and he was leading in the polls, from what I heard, from what my wife was telling me. But he ended up losing out. See how they do this is they're very sneaky about it. They do a English style type of election where you have eight candidates running, and then the top, you know, if nobody gets 50%, then the top two get to runoff. And he lost by 1% from being in the runoff, and they're going to do a recount today. But I remember what Dr. Corsi talked about, and the thing is, they're probably going to find a vote here, a vote there, a vote here, a vote there, but it ain't going to be enough to do anything. That's just my prediction.
Yeah.
I don't take up too much time, but I appreciate you guys. Love every one of you. You know, just keep up the good work and a good fight.
Bless you, Paul, man. Let's know what we can do. Amen. Amen.
I will.
Craig. All right, buddy. Craig, come on in.
So Judah's very right. They're not in place. A lot of people aren't in place, but the people that they put in place when they had positions of authority, those 30-year people that work in the government, this is the fourth arm of the government that is not constitutional. Okay. And if you look at what they pick apart about this thing called 2025 and they're, you know, tying it to Trump, and I think hopefully he's under the water supporting it. What if you listen to what they really get? They talk about the people who are in the federal government who are career people. They are so threatened by this thing called 2025 because this will pull the guts out of the fourth arm of the federal government, which is the people that do not operate in a constitutional way and subvert and are on a long agenda. Now I want to give you something. Okay, they're getting ready to light their birthday cake this September in New York City. And you know why they're getting ready to light the candle? Because it's the sustainable developmental goals, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Okay. Do you know who was the United Nations ambassador in 1971 during the Nixon administration?
Don't tell me.
Would you like to just throw a name out there? George Bush, who on September 11th addressed the Congress and said there will be a new world order. And then after he hightailed it from Congress on September 11th, 1990, went over to the United Nations and said the same thing. They are getting ready to establish the one world government this September at the United Nations 79th General Assembly. Has that been brought up into any of the debate? Are there any talking heads talking about the 17 sustainable developmental goals?
Yeah.
No.
No, no, no. And you have to unmute there, Ann. Go ahead, Jeff. There she goes. Go ahead, Ann. There you go.
Good morning, Coach, and thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I know this takes a lot of your time, and I can't tell you how much of a boost it gives me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Thanks. I love doing it. Thanks.
I need it. The United Nations Agenda 21, 25, 30, and 50 are all in action right now because Trump was approached by the military to run against Hillary in 2015, and he finally said yes. He had been approached before by the military, but he wanted we the people to wake up more and stand up more at local level. And if any of you have done research on him, he has not changed his tune at all. He is not a flip-floppy guy. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. He is of God. And he said in many interviews over the decades that if he had to save his country, he would run for president. Well, when the military approached him again, he did say yes in 2015 to run against Hillary. She was supposed to win. The machines are rigged. The machines were created to cheat the vote so that they would always have one of their criminal cartel members and agents or thugs in every public office of trust. The trust is the law of the air, or God's laws, or divine law, putting it very, very briefly, but it's trust laws. And this is our abundance. This is the kingdom of God. Putting it very simplistically, there's a lot of details, but we have to get back to God's laws in order to open this door of abundance and everything good.
Let me ask you something. Who would open God's door? Who would be responsible for doing that, Ann?
We do this. No. Every single one of us, we have to have a personal relationship with God. And every time, we the people are God's church. It's not a physical building.
Body.
A
mega church.
Body. No, it's us.
Yes, it's us.
It's us right now on this call. We, the people, are God's church. We are the foundation of God's government, God's church, doing God's work.
Except every time the pulpits are full of men saying, don't get involved in politics. Sorry, Ann, right. I'm with you. Boom. Yeah. Jeff, come on in.
Yeah, they're bought and paid.
Yep. Well, some of them are just pussies. Pardon my French. Go ahead. Mama's boys. Mama's boys. They're just mama's boys.
Coach,
talk big. Oh, they get up there and stomp around. They talk big. Go ahead, Jeff.
We'll say this and just think about it. Don't get offended when I say it to some of the people.
I don't get offended. Go ahead.
No, not you. But I'm just reading some stuff in the chat. So it goes right back to the hireling. You've said it in John 10. And that's what I'm hearing Pastor Matt talking about now, the hirelings, the fakes. I mean, he's pulling up John 10, but he's ripping it. But this is what's going on right now. And this landed on me. And I've told you a little bit about the Republican Party here. I've spoke to them. Told them 2 weeks ago they want to do them get-togethers. I said, listen, why don't you contact the 140 churches? And when you do an event down here at this headquarters, you get all 140 pastors notified that we're going to have a prayer session down here to pray down this ungodliness that's going on in this election.
So
yesterday they come. Now they want me to get them flags and hats for them. Oh, and I did in the order. I got some hats. I've never seen them before. It says on the hat says, Jesus is my savior. Trump is my president. They're getting these hats down at the headquarters. But the lady come to me yesterday and told me this. We've got a guy, JC, because I've been hammering him. We got a guy that's going to contact all the pastors in the county. I said, what's he going to do? She said, well, he's going to tell them they got to get involved in politics and speak against the politics from their pulpit. I said, now, you tell that guy to come see me. I want to chat with him before he does this because he's going to go in and get his lunch ate. You know what I mean? That's so right. You read that newspaper today. I'm going to print it out And I'm going up there today and ask this. I think his name is Joe or Bob. I can't remember. But I'm going to ask, where's he at? I need to see him, and I want you to meet with him. So, and what if? So what if we can start waking up these churchgoers and the hirelings?
I have to.
This, what I see in, here's what I'm going to say. In the chat, several people now are saying, I'm going to write in Jesus. Well, let me say this. And I'm going to say this. Don't get offended. But writing in Jesus ain't going to help Pastor Bill Dunphy. Pastor Bill Dunphy, you write in Jesus. Pastor Bill's promoting everybody. You go get 10, JC. You go get 10, Coach. Get them to vote for Trump. In case they put me in prison, I can be pardoned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't vote Jesus.
Don't vote Jesus. Jesus is King, Lord of Lords. He's not President of the United States. Ohio Brett, go.
Coach, what a great locker room. This is the only locker room that's actually getting out of the pews and onto the streets doing jack squat. And what a team you put together from coast to coast, Nevada, Florida, Maine, New Hampshire, all over. And I just want to encourage everybody, keep getting into the Bible and sharing Coach Dave. A lot of you know I've been blessed to get a new job. I'll be on the sidelines doing two games this weekend, Coach. Army plays at FAU. I'll be with Chris Carter on the sideline. I'm not going to ask Chris Carter about Ohio State Buckeye football. I'm going to ask him, hey, are you reading the Bible and are you watching Coach Dave live? And then I get to work the Miami Hurricanes are going to kill Florida A&M. I'll do the same thing on the sidelines with all those famous Miami Hurricane guys. You reading your Bible, you watching Coach Dave, and if I get tased, you know what happened.
Go get him, man. Go get him. Go get him. Let me finish with this. Pull up palm. Pull up the palm. I think I can get it done in 4 minutes. I don't know who wrote it. It's up on the screen. You can read along. I'll put it in the chat. Long ago and far away in a land that time forgot, before the days of Dylan or the dawn of Camelot, there lived a race of innocents. And they were you and me. For Ike was in the White House and the land were where we were born. Where navels were for oranges and Peyton Place was porn, we longed for love and romance and waited for our prince. Eddie Fisher married Liz, and no one's seen him since. We danced a little darling and sang to Stagger Lee, cried for Buddy Holly in the land that made me, me. Only girls wore earrings then, and three was one too many. And only boys wore flat top cuts, except for Gene McKinney. And only in our wildest dreams did we expect to see boy named George with lipstick in the land that made me, me. We fell for Frankie Avalon, and that was oh so nice. And when they made a movie, they never made it twice. We didn't have a Star Trek V or Psycho 2 and 3, Rocky, Rambo 20 in the land that made me, me. This kitty had a heart of gold and Chester had a limp. And Reagan was a Democrat, whose co-star was a chimp. We had a Mr. Wizard, but not a Mr. T. And Oprah couldn't talk yet in the land that made me, me. We had our share of heroes. We never thought they'd go, at least not Bobby Darin or Marilyn Monroe. For youth was still eternal, life was yet to be. And Elvis was forever in the land that made me, me. We'd never seen the rock band that was grateful to be dead. And airplanes weren't named Jefferson, and Zeppelins were not lead. Beatles lived in gardens then, and monkeys lived in trees. Madonna was Mary, in the land that made me, me. We'd never heard of microwaves or telephones in cars. Babies might be bottle-fed, but they were not grown in jars. And pumping iron got wrinkles out, and gay meant fancy free. And dorms were never co-ed in the land that made me, me. We hadn't seen enough of jets to talk about the lag, and microchips were what was left at the bottom of a bag. And hardware was a box of nails, and bites came from a flea. And rocket ships were fiction in the land that made me, me. And T-birds came with portals, and sideshows came with freaks. Bathing suits came big enough to cover both of your cheeks. And Coke came just in bottles, skirts below the knee. And Castro came to power near the land that made me, me. With no crest with, we had no crest with fluoride. We had no Hill Street Blues. We had no patterned pantyhose or Lipton herbal tea. Or primetime ads for dysfunctions in the land that made me, me. There are no golden arches, no Perrier de Chiel. Fish were not called Wanden. Cats were not called Bill. Middle age was 35 and old was 43. And ancient were our parents in the land that made me me. But all things have a season, so we've heard them say. Now instead of a Maybelline, we wear a Retin-A. They send us invitations to join AARP. We've come a long way, baby, from the land that made me me. So now we face a brave new world in slightly larger jeans and wonder why they're using smaller print in magazines. We tell our children's children the way it used to be, long ago and far away, in the land that made me me. If you didn't grow up in the 50s, you missed the greatest time in history. See you tomorrow.